I wanted to get this in. I know it's all Browns. Today it's a victory Monday. We did Super Bowl, Super Browns, and I think I lost my voice again. To start the show, we're talking about the great Jim Donovan. Joe Thomas will join us at 9. Zagura will join us at 9:20. It's a star-studded show to talk about the great one. But Lima says that people are 2 years late to a take that he had, obviously, 2 years ago. What is this?
Well, that Ryan Day is not fit to be the head coach of a national championship Ohio State team. But I've been on that long, it's almost become boring to me to have that take. Oh. But I welcomed everybody to the bandwagon. Amazingly enough, the three Michigan losses weren't enough to get the job done. You needed a game in late October against Nebraska. Well, welcome to the party. You know, I'm not going to be a gatekeeper here. If you want to jump on that bandwagon, my oh my, the water is warm here. Feel free to come on in.
Didn't they lose a bunch of people, though? Aren't they starting like a third offensive lineman?
Well, they...
I mean, Nebraska's not just going to roll over for you. They lost another one-score game, which is, boy, just the key to everything. If they had almost wins, they'd be national championship caliber.
Yeah, remember Indiana just a week ago dominated the same Nebraska team 56-7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
By the thinnest of margins, had to hold on. You saw Ryan Day just losing his mind on the sidelines, and always an emotional roller coaster. And he wasn't happy after the game, but you know, I haven't been happy watching those lines play in a long time as an Ohio State fan.
Is it the worst thing that happened when you guys lose to Oregon and then you have a week off and then you play Nebraska? Like, you would want to get right back out there.
And I just thought you would. You'd impose your will. They can't. They can't because they're not an in-the-trenches team. They're just, that was the calling card of Jim Tressel's 0-2 national championship. In the trenches, they dominated. They dominated Miami in that title game. It was incredible. And the Urban Meyer teams, they might have done it from the shotgun, but that offensive line,
pulverized. Yes.
And yeah, Cardell was amazing. So too was the running game. Their running game. And of course, on the other side of things, they just got after it in a different way. This team doesn't have that. And so this is, you want to talk about, you know, anxious moments. I know we'll get back to some other things.
Well, we got Browns, obviously.
I mean, in Happy Valley, where if it was an Urban Meyer team, I would never be worried. They are going to Penn State this week. Penn State is just more physical than them. Now, Drew Aller got banged up in that last game, and he had to leave for Penn State, which turned out to be a pretty exciting game against Wisconsin. They lose this game, Kenny. I mean, are they going to be eliminated from the playoffs? Like, they're not going to have a Big Ten championship to play in.
I think a two-loss Ohio State team can still get in.
That doesn't win or even play for the conference championship.
So who are you saying they could lose to again?
Penn State.
I still don't believe in James Franklin in these moments. I'm sorry. History tells me I don't believe in James Franklin. I know it says that you don't believe in Ryan Day in these moments. I don't believe in James Franklin in these moments. They got to prove it to me.
Ohio State's always handled these games, these situations. This is a huge, huge, significant pressure pack showdown for Ryan Day.
I think this is pressure pack for both.
We all agree, right? If the Buckeyes miss the playoffs,
$20 million roster or whatever it is, well, the Ryan number Day, keeps going up.
Ryan Day is done, right? We all agree on that. Even the Ryan Day supporters, they know that this would be the most appealing college football job big time. I mean, you'd have guys flocking to try to get this job behind the scenes.
In the best of both worlds, you would have Kevin Stefanski working things out and doing well with the Cleveland Browns and Mike Vrabel taking over with the Ohio State Buckeyes, and then Lyman would have exactly what he wants in life. I think that would be in the best interest for everybody. But we got to get through this season with Kevin Stefanski, and hopefully things are going in the right direction. There's some people who say that he's in no trouble whatsoever. I think a season can go off the rails and bad things
then
can happen.
So what? Ohio State fans don't have expectations anymore?
I'm talking about $21 million. About Kevin Stefanski. Well, I'm not talking about Ohio State.
I see some weird Ryan Day defense, and I'm like, what did he do to earn that defense?
He's done nothing.
Beating Iowa.
Yeah.
Beating a bunch of Northwestern.
He's done nothing. He's done nothing to earn that defense. We can get into it deeper coming up later this week. But to move the conversation back to Kevin Stefanski just for a moment, like it was a great performance yesterday. I still need to see more. I think that Kevin Stefanski was on a hotter and hotter seat as time goes on. Yesterday cooled a lot of that. Granted, if they can prove that they can still conduct an offense, win some football games, do what they've done in the past, I think he should be fine going into next year. But it's just the same thing as where I can't write off everything based on one game. It was a great win. It was a tremendous win. Tremendous win against Baltimore yesterday. And there were so many things. Like, I saw them defensively, can I say this? I saw them get into the football for the first time in 7 weeks. Since the first half of week one when they were playing with their asses on fire. And then things came apart against Dallas. I saw them getting there and playing team defense. Like, there, when Ross Tucker's talking about an energy, there was certainly a defensive energy that carried over for the first time in a while with this defense. And maybe I'm being a little bit too mean-spirited. They did win against Jacksonville, and they played really well defensively against Jacksonville. But, man, I just saw a light in their eyes that I have not seen.
But Diabate.
That I can remember. Diabate has a problem with P.I. and then immediately comes up with
made
a sack.
Made up for it, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Za'Darius Smith, I thought, was incredible.
Za'Darius Smith, some of the stunts that Jim Schwartz worked with, I thought it put Baltimore in a lot of conflict and flushed Lamar Jackson out of the pocket. And he had to take off with his feet, and he can be a frustrating quarterback. Maybe, again, the most frustrating in the NFL to play against. But I thought that what they did with just their basic stunts, I thought were fantastic. I thought the play was fantastic. You know, Denzel Ward, I know he got hurt again, and we got to talk about that at some point. And JOK, I don't know. I think it's bigger than football. I think it's probably bigger than football with both those guys, to be honest with you. You will have to make some changes with that defense because of personnel. But yesterday I thought I saw an energy that I have not seen in quite a while with them, and a level of non-frustration, which, again, does bring you back to the quarterback situation. I mean, it. I can deny or I can say hold your horses on a lot of the stuff when it comes to blame. I mean, guys, we can't deny he's the biggest distraction possible for that football team. And I said, as many things as I've put together with Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson, it's where, like, man, you traded for the same guy and the same problems that you had in 2021. And I know one guy went on to blossom. I get that. But I still made that comparison. I go, you know, it starts to get on your teammates every single week after you lose ball games like it did in 2021. And you have to answer whether or not you think your quarterback's good. Remember I said that back in 2021, and I was noticing it here before the injury. I go, it grates on guys when they have to answer questions offensively, defensively, every single week about your confidence in your quarterback. Because basically you're getting asked, do you think this guy is good or bad? And they don't have to answer those questions in Cincinnati, in Buffalo, in Baltimore, in Kansas City. That becomes a distraction for everybody. 216-474-0092. Gabe and Ash Jabula, you're next up on the Fan.
Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It was definitely a Watson problem this entire time. I mean, it was still Stefanski's offense, even though he was calling the plays. But Jameis made those progressions. He read the defense. He had amazing passes. Granted, he should have, like, 6 or 7 interceptions. But he still used that wide receiver core. Tillman looked like Megatron out there, and it just looked like a whole different team. We had Pep in our step, and I think Watson is too liberal for this offense.
A very interesting choice of words there, Gabe, but all right. You go ahead and you say it. Maybe he was looking for a different word. John in Wadsworth, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Morning, John.
He just didn't think the play calling was as conservative this week.
I thought it was more conservative.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, not to pile on, but I definitely think I've always thought it's a Watson problem. We were out at the bar yesterday with a bunch of friends, and, I mean, within the first couple of plays, we all looked at each other and said, this team has a completely different energy out there. Like, it just felt like they were up for the first time since probably the Dallas game. And it's just, I mean, you can look at the numbers as simply as possible. Say, in the last 8 games without Deshaun Watson, they're 6-2. And your quarterback has thrown for over 300 yards 7 times. It's either 6 or 7 times. So this is not a coaching problem. This offense works. It's definitively a Watson problem. They need to move on. And I get what you're saying, Ken, about let's give it another week. I just think that the energy itself is different, and they need to keep riding with it.
Well, hey, you guys can all shoot your mouths off all you want. I encourage it. That's fine. But I got to answer for it if he goes out there and he sucks up the room next week.
That's very true. I mean, really, and I hate to phrase it this way because it's such a bad attitude. But, you know, I mean, really anything is better than what Watson was providing. I mean, you know, not scoring 20 points, not throwing for 200 yards, taking sacks. Like, it was so ugly. Like, I mean, can it really get worse? I mean, it's just, you know, I think Jameis brings a better energy.
I mean, it can always get worse, but it just, it looks so much better. It looks so much better right now. Because, again, you got a guy, and John, thank you for the call. You were able to have protection. You knew where your quarterback was going to be. See, that's part of the issue that you have. When we talk about QBs, I'm going to get into the weeds here. This might be nitty-gritty football here for a second. I always bring up Zach Wilson. And the pre-draft stuff with him coming out of BYU was, boy, he's so great in chaos. I'm going, do you want to create chaos for him? Like, there will be times where it will be chaotic. But your entire goal is to make it as least chaotic as possible for your quarterback. And so I think when you have a guy that's in chaos all the time, he doesn't know where he's going, and his offensive line doesn't know where he's going to be. Jameis, you know where he's going. He's going to drop back. He's going to let it fly. And sometimes the results of those are really, really bad. Most of the time, it's really, really good. But he's going to get the ball out. He's going to let it fly. If they know where he's going to be, especially an offensive line that's had injuries and doesn't have as much experience as we want. It was very important to get Wyatt Teller back, even though he had a couple of penalties yesterday. It was very important to get Wyatt back. Now that you have an offensive line, it made the job easier for DeJuan Jones because it's going, okay, he's always going to be on my inside of my right. He's always going to be there. As long as I can get my steps right and get out, it makes my job easier. And DeJuan was better than I think a lot of people anticipated yesterday over at left tackle. And I think a lot of people in the offseason wanted it, but because of the knee injury, because of everything else, they were worried about him over there. I thought he did a good job. But because he could trust the quarterback and the quarterback could trust them, it made things easier. That was something you never had with Deshaun Watson this last year. Because he was running around like crazy. Because he was bailing out. Because he was nervous. Because by the time the third quarter came around, he turned around, there were 15 guys on defense. That's the difference. And a quarterback that can just, hey, drop back, let it fly, it can make your offensive line look a little bit better than maybe even they should be. It worked last year with Joe Flacco. It worked in one game so far this year with Jameis Winston. It should make that offensive line look better over the coming weeks. As long as Jameis stays in this version of Jameis, which, you know what, you're probably going to have a couple of stupid turnovers next week like you did yesterday. And I hated that play call at the end of the first half. I thought it could have sucked all the momentum right out. But I go, when's the last time they came out and scored on their first drive to start the second half?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that
I
was
asked Daryl about that. I texted him during the game. When's the last time they came out of their first drive in the second half and scored?
I didn't crush him for that because I'm like, they are a 1-6 football team. Like, what else? What else? What else you got to live for? We are sitting here. Guys are fired up. Guys are having fun. You'd only been able to really score a few field goals. Like, let's go. Let's have some fun. Let's throw the ball around.
It changes
no
your
pressure,
but it changes your perspective because now you're watching. I think a lot of people are trying to confirm this to themselves. Hey, this ain't that bad of a football team. They won a bunch of games last year. What was the problem? That's why it's so easy to put it all on Deshaun Watson. And it's very easy, very convenient. I just don't want to do it just yet. 216-474-0092. Like, there's so many more things that I think that we have to see over the coming weeks before I'm willing to just say, all in all, it was overall Deshaun Watson's fault. I'm close. Already I'm close. I just think I want to be a little bit more responsible about it because I got to see more out of Stefanski. I got to see more out of Ken Dorsey. I got to see what defenses are going to do to change and put them into problems. And to put Jameis Winston into a situation where he might be hurried and might throw a bad pass because he threw a few bad passes yesterday that should have been picked off. So I got to see what he does out of that. But so far, it was a wonderful experience yesterday. And it was, I think it was therapeutic for Browns fans all over.